about to bear all with Jerry McCauley from Bradway. At the moment, from Bradway, he's only been here 30-odd years. He describes himself as a professional, caring learner. We'll find out about that in a bit. But I'll say, first of all, Jerry, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Would you like to have a go at the bearing all questions?
Absolutely, far away.
Oh, right, OK. Are you sure that you can have a go? Are you... All right, here we go.
I'll do my best.
Jeremy Corley, what's your favourite thing on toast?
Cheese.
Your hero as a teenager?
George Best.
Your first friend that you ever remembered making?
My first friend, a guy called Noel, when I was 3.
Last time you played football?
When, 22 years ago.
Are you watching Wimbledon?
Nope.
Do you eat prawns?
Nope.
Whitney Britney or Jean Pitney?
Jean Pitney.
Who cleans the loo at your house?
Me and my wife and anyone else who
People can just chip in and have a go?
Yeah, absolutely. We all muck in together.
How democratic. Yeah. When are you at your best, please?
When am I at my best? When I'm relaxed.
Are you relaxed now?
Fairly relaxed.
Yeah. Complete the sentence with something positive. I am...
A happy person, generally.
You're very happy when you came in here, Jerry. I've been looking through your notes for the interview. I didn't find much about your private life. I thought, well, this guy's very discreet. I knew he's a hypnotherapist, and I knew he's professional, and he likes Thin Lizzy, but I didn't find out much about your life. And yeah, you've got one, so what's the secret?
Well, I've got a wonderful wife called Sue.
Why didn't you mention Sue in
any
of your answers?
I should have done. And she'll never forgive me.
No?
I can hear it now when I go back home later. But yeah, Sue and I have been together since 1981. I'm married in 1982, and I have a son, Jerry, who's married to Anna, and they have a wonderful daughter, my only grandchild, my one and only grandchild, called Zara, who's 21 months. Jerry's 30, is doing well, moving to a new job, etc. Lives in Liverpool. Yeah. He went to university in Liverpool, and that's where he's put down.
Good. Have you ever hypnotised any of them?
I've done some work with my youngest, my daughter Phoebe, who's 17, coming up 18, be 18 soon.
Mom said, "Don't go out late. Come back.
No,
don't knock off boys."
More to do with just small things, or well, big things to her, of course. Things like when she had an aversion or phobia about dogs. She had a phobia about touching paper and feeling paper, thumb sucking, and so on and so forth. So mainly that. Although she insists that she doesn't want me to do anything to change her phobia about spiders. She's perfectly happy to keep that. And that's fine, because it's about choice.
Oh, Jeremy Corley, thank you very much indeed. The piece of music that you thought you might like to hear was Thin Lizzy. Why do you want Whiskey in the Jar, Jerry?
Well, I was pretty drunk at the time. It was a long time ago, but I remember seeing Thin Lizzy in 1972. In Dublin, when before they became famous, and it was just amazing. I was very young at the time, and they were just amazing. And this song's always stuck with me, and I just love it.
swore that you loved me. Never would you leave me. Well, the devil take that woman, for you know she tricked me easy. Push a ring on the doodomada.
Whiskey in the Jar, the musical tutor Jerry McCauley, who's in the studios of BBC Radio Sheffield, recalling happy days in Ireland when he knew them before they knew everybody else and became famous. He is a professional caring learner, described himself as such. He lives in Bradway these days, though he's lived all over the place, Belfast and Southampton, London and various other places abroad. He's a hypnotherapist, and I asked him what that was. I didn't ask him how he became one and why. Something happened to you in 1983, didn't it?
Yeah, in 1983, I went to see a hypnotherapist, a guy called Bill Atkinson Ball. I remember him well. Unfortunately, he's not with us anymore, but I went to see him. At the time, I needed some help with a few things. I just moved up from London, new job, lots of demands, traveling all over the country, etc., etc., moving into a new house, and so others. So I personally needed some help. But also at the time, I was a management trainer. I was in management training and development, and I was interested in anything that I could usefully use that would help myself and also other people. And I came across this thing called hypnosis and knew nothing about it. And so this was pre-internet days. Yeah. So what I wanted to do was to experience it, but also what I wanted to do was to learn self-hypnosis, and that's what Bill taught me. So I used self-hypnosis, and no, I didn't practice as a therapist. I was just using it. I used it on my way into work, on the train.
What are you doing with your finger?
I'm just moving, because I was...
Is that what they do?
I do that sometimes.
To hypnotise yourself?
You can do that, actually, but usually when you're hypnotising yourself, you're just focusing on one thing. You know, the classic thing with people, you know, you stir at a candle or a flame or, you know, that hypnotic experience with which everyone on the planet's had, when you just find yourself engrossed by those flames in the fire. And there's many other everyday hypnotic experiences. We don't think of them as hypnosis, but they are. Those times where your mind just wanders, a daydream, a pleasant daydream, for example. So I was using self-hypnosis just to help myself just be more relaxed and happier, freer. And I just continued to practice. And then I fell out of practicing for a number of years. And then I got back into it again in, when was it, when my first child was born, Jerry, because I helped my wife to give birth hypnosis and hypnobirthing. Midwives, for example, use hypnosis, and increasingly are using hypnosis to help people give birth. And my wife, God bless her, cotton socks, gave birth without any help, just gas in her, no epidural, etc., etc. And using hypnosis, with me just helping her along the way, but largely down to her. And my daughter, Phoebe, was born using hypnosis too. And I think it was, when was it? It was in 1991. I came across something called neuro-linguistic programming, and I trained as a neuro-linguistic programmer. as part of my professional development. I was a management consultant at that time, and I was coaching people, helping, you know, directors, senior managers in companies, etc., make changes to themselves, and also some other people. So I got into it because I find that coaching in itself wasn't enough. So I wanted to do something more. And a lot of neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, comes from hypnotherapy. Its base is the work of...
Does it involve staring at people? Is that like in the comics?
No, unfortunately, movies and books, which is, you know, the scary guy dangling a watch, etc., is far from the truth.
Go to sleep.
Well, you might think you're staring at me now, of course. You might
think I'm
staring.
Well, I know you're staring at me, actually. That's the odd coincidence that you are, aren't you?
Well, you need to look and pay attention to people. I was listening to your program when I was waiting to come on, and you were talking about the eyes. And the eyes have it. Now, you can do hypnosis. I can use it with eyes open or closed. But often people find it's easier to relax with the eyes closed, with the eyes shut. We can go into our own inner world, etc. And hypnosis is really an altered state. And there's different ways you can use, rapid ways, slower ways. It depends on the individual. I get a sense when I meet someone what approach is going to work best for them.
Are people suspicious of it, Joe? Do they think you're going to trick them into giving them all their money? Or?
Well, I think the people who are really suspicious of hypnosis don't ring me or come to see me. in a way, they've already hypnotized themselves very successfully. and more than a way to believe that they can't be hypnotized or hypnosis doesn't work, despite the fact they've never experienced it. So, you know, some
does
people...
Does it only work if you believe it'll work?
No. Absolutely not. You
so
don't
you could be doing me now even though I don't realise. I think I'm conducting a paid interview with you.
No, I wouldn't do that. Hypnosis requires you to give your active participation and involvement.
All right.
And, you know, when you look at stage hypnotists, and I'm not a stage hypnotist, so I'm no interest in entertaining. I use hypnotherapy for therapeutic reasons to help people change for the better, change habits, etc. But you can't do it and you shouldn't do it without people's permission, because all hypnosis is self-hypnosis in effect. Oh. I'm just helping you to access that part of you that, in effect, knows more about you than you do.
And you do as well. Yeah. It's great. Listen, you, among the other things that I learn about you, you're 63. In answering some of the questions, you said you look back on your life sometimes with a kind of loss. Your perfectionist streak makes you look back and think, oh, I wish I'd done that.
Yeah.
But your other thing is a journey ahead. You talk, I've got so much more to give. There are different directions I could take. The remaining chapters could be very different. So what are you planning to be now?
Well,
you're a hypnotist, you want to become a world athlete?
Well, no, not quite. What I want to do, I think up until about a year ago, I was part-time hypnotherapist, full-time management consultant. That was my job, working with corporate clients, companies like Unilever and other companies, doing various things. I was a change manager
for capitalism.
Well, change management consultant. And if you think it's hard to explain what a hypnotherapist is, it's even harder to explain what a change management consultant is.
Too much money for something that doesn't need doing, I thought.
Well, that's one view. One view.
You've hypnotised me to get myself into trouble.
Absolutely. That's what I've done, and I've done it very successfully, Ronnie. You can see it works. So the key thing is that, you know, I was doing that full time, and then I've decided to devote myself full time to hypnotherapy. So I'm building things up. So some of the things I want to do, if I had my way, I'd allow and help all the children in Sheffield from 8 onwards to learn how to relax, how to deal with things better. I think children today, more than any, I believe, with all the demands, social media, smartphones, etc., and the constant testing in education. And I know you have a young niece, etc., and has all that before them and your own children. And I think, I'm not saying we're over-testing, but it can be pretty demanding. And certainly various schools around the country who have tried using hypnosis and also mindfulness, it doesn't matter what you call it. I mean, if it helps a child to be more relaxed, to learn, to cope with tests, to get better results, to get through life more successfully, then great. Because a lot of the issues that people have in grown-up life were actually nurtured or formed in early life. So most phobias, for example, are pretty much It's difficult to put a percentage on this, but most phobias are formed by the age of four, pretty all, much all of them by the age of seven. And the others tend to happen later in life, you know, maybe the scary plane journey that's installed at that phobia. But a lot of phobias can be stemmed back to early life.
To catch them early. Jerry, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Jerry McCauley on BBC Radio Sheffield, Bearing All.